Welcome back to Parked Car Convos. I'm Maddie Mitchell and I am your host today and always because, well, quite frankly, this is literally my podcast, so who else is going to host it? Happy freaking Monday. I hope you had a fabulous weekend. If you celebrated St. Patrick's Day this weekend, I hope you had the time of your life and I hope that you're doing well this morning, depending on what those festivities looked like. I hope you and your spirits and your health are well. And I don't think that that's asking too much from your favorite podcast host. I hope you guys are ready to have a fabulous week. I think it's going to be a good week. What do you guys think? I feel in the air that spring is on its way to us. It's getting ready. It's headed our way. And I am eagerly, eagerly awaiting that. I'm excited for this week's podcast episode because we're talking about babysitting horror stories. And you guys had a lot to say. You had a lot to say. A lot of trauma is kind of like laced and littered within babysitting as a job, as a kind of career path. And I've done my own episode on babysitting horror stories that you guys can go back to and listen to hear all. I did an entire episode just with mine. So that in and of itself, I feel like goes to show how traumatic this is as a thing that you do for like minimum wage, which is crazy. But the more that I was thinking about it and the more I was reading these stories, I was like, the concept of babysitting is crazy because first of all of you guys that wrote in were so young for the most part. Like some of you were like 11 and 12 when you were babysitting. And like, with all due respect, like who is letting an 11 or 12 year old in charge of their children? Like they're babies. Like that's just like not making sense to me. That's not personally adding up. And then also it's crazy to just like be existing in a stranger's home like late at night. Like I get scared in my own house late at night. Like the thought of being a child and being like left to fend for yourself in a stranger's home is like so crazy. Like that's just such a wild concept. And not only are you fending for yourself, but you're also in charge of these children. Like it's actually nuts and kind of the scariest thing in the world when you think about it. So this is a safe space for you guys to open up and to share your treacherous experiences with the podcast family here. So just know this is a safe space. I'm really excited to dive into those. But first and foremost, let's do peak and valley of the week. My peak of the week is that last weekend I did the limited edition merch drop for International Women's Day. And I'm so excited because we raised $9,000 for Girl Up, which is a fabulous organization that I talked about a little bit last week. And I am just over the moon that it was so successful and that so many of you guys were loving that merch. And I am obsessed with the designs. I'm actually sitting right now wearing one of the hoodies from last week's merch drop. It was a limited edition, like exclusive drop for 72 hours in case you guys don't know what I'm talking about. But yeah, so that was definitely my peak of the week. My valley of the week is I am stressed. I've been stressed and I continue to be stressed. And then I'm just stressed on like 36 different levels. Do you know what I mean? Like there's almost nothing in my life that isn't stressing me out right now. And I'm just kind of like navigating through that and not handling it well. But I am, nevertheless, I am persevering. And I think there is beauty in that. So another valley of the week is the fact that I am recording this on Sunday at noon. I thought I had broken the habit like this, but it's just because this week I was just like not here. I was here and but I wasn't here and I wasn't doing well. So I'm here now at the very last minute and I'm recording this episode and just like kind of kicking myself about it because the sun just came out. It was like so rainy and gross this morning and now the sun's out. And I'm like, I, with peace and love, do not want to be in my basement recording this podcast episode. Like I do and I don't, you know what I mean? Because today, actually the rest of the day looks really nice, which is that's a peak. That's definitely a peak. I'm going to go outside and go for a walk after this because it has been really nice, like in the 50s, which I know for so many people, they're probably like, that's sad that that's what you're viewing as really nice. And yes, it is. But it had been like in the 50s and like high 40s for the past like week and a half, I want to say. And now it looks like it's back to like mid 40s. It's going to be 41 one day this week. And I'm just like, no, I don't like backpedaling like this. That's not something I personally ever signed off on. Like I'm not interested in that at all. So that is unfortunately something I am dreading about this week. I also have a dentist appointment this week. So I'm just like really God grant me the serenity. Thank you guys so much. I know that you two are trying to grant me the serenity, so that really does mean the world to me. Anyways, for Pass the Ox Song of the Week, a song that I am unironically obsessed with is the song that talks about Chicago that's all over TikTok right now. I thought it was called Chicago for the longest time. It's actually not. It's called End of Beginning. And it's by this guy who's in Stranger Things, which is like crazy to me. I never watched Stranger Things, but I like know what the cast looks like. And it's just crazy when you hear a song and then you realize who sings it and you're like, that is not what I was picturing. That is not who I was picturing singing that song. That feels like a violation for some reason. Like, that is not okay. But it's actually a really good song. And so I've been listening to that and eating it up, honestly. Okay, for Traffic Report this week, we're going to touch really, really briefly on the Love is Blind reunion. I hate talking about shows like this because I know that some people don't watch the show, so they don't care at all. But I know that the people that do watch the show have been wanting me to talk about it. So really briefly, I thought the reunion was really well done. I think after six seasons, they finally, like, they figured it out. Like, they know how to set up a reunion. I could have done without, like, so much from the past couples. Like, I feel like that was a little bit excessive. I like that they were there and, like, participating, but it was a little bit much. But I thought it was a pretty juicy reunion, honestly. Like, the whole Sarah Ann and Jeremy of it all was obviously embarrassing, but, like, chaotic nonetheless. And then when they brought Trevor out, I don't know what that was. I don't know what he was expecting. I don't know if he knew where he was. I don't know if he knew what he signed up for. I think he was very deeply confused because, like, the second they asked him a question, he just shut down. He just did not speak. And then he was like, can I go? That was so weird. It felt fake, but I know it wasn't. It was crazy. But I do think it was a pretty good reunion. I think we got a decent amount of answers. I would be curious to know more about Chelsea and Jimmy because apparently they've been, like, spotted together recently, like at a concert together. So I feel like they could be together. Like, I know that just will not end well in my heart of hearts. I know that. But that's, I guess, for her and him to kind of discover on their own. But I do think overall it was a pretty good and very comprehensive reunion. I don't think they kind of, like, dug into everyone that needed to be dug into. Do you know what I mean? I feel like in the past they kind of, like, tiptoe around it because they don't want to make people uncomfortable. And it's obviously way easier said than done because it's like while you're watching the show, you want to be like, what the fuck were you thinking? But then it's like if you were actually hosting this reunion, you wouldn't necessarily be like, what the fuck were you thinking? Because that's an awkward thing to say to someone's face. So I get it. But I just think they did it well. Although I hate that they waited until, like, 9 p.m. or whatever to release it. Like, that was annoying. Like, they should have just released it at midnight like they did with all of the other ones because it's not like it was live. So there was no point in that. But other than that, I thought it was really good. And now I'm even more sad that Love is Blind is over because it's just, like, it's only like dating show, reality dating show that I can, like, get behind besides Love Island. But I don't know. It's just, like, it's sad because now I'm going to have to wait so long for a new season. And that really bums me out. I'm not going to lie because it's just, like, perfect. It's perfect brainless television. And that's what I need with, like, just the right amount of drama. It's perfect. I love everything about it. Anyways, moving on, I think I will touch very briefly on my babysitting horror stories for those of you who haven't heard them. I'm not gonna go into all of them, and if you want to hear the full details, go back and listen to that episode. Actually, I just checked and that episode is from October of 2021. I really can't condone in good consciousness that you listen to that episode, but if you're feeling risky, feel free to go back and listen to it. Also, really quick before I forget and before I get into my own horror stories and then get into your horror stories, I would love to reach 1,000 five-star ratings on Apple Podcasts by the end of March. We're getting really close to the end of March. Is this the last episode in March? Because that will inevitably not. No. Okay. I was going to say that would not bode well for me. Okay. So if you haven't left a rating, or review. You can do both on Apple Podcasts, which is fabulous. You can go leave, but a rating is super simple. Just tap on all 5 stars and you gave me a 5-star rating and I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. We're at 818 right now, so we're pretty close. We're getting closer to 1,000, and then on Spotify, I would love to get to 2,000. We're at 1.8 on there right now. So that would just be fabulous. That's just like kind of my own little goal that I'm setting. And it really does help the podcast and it helps me. Thank you. Thank you. And also feel free to share the podcast with a friend. If you have been listening for a while and you like the podcast, or if you listen to today's episode and you like it, feel free to share it with a friend. Feel free to post it on your Instagram story to kind of spread the good word in that sense. That would be so beautiful and so appreciated. And you can also become the passenger of the week by submitting a photo of the episode playing on your car's radio screen, or you could submit a parked car convos related meme. That's always fun for not only me, but for everybody to kind of get in on the fun and participate in these cute little inside jokes that we have. Okay, spiel over. We're diving in. So my babysitting horror stories, just kind of to like rapid fire go through them. I once babysat this family that had this one little boy who was demonic, you could say, and he locked me in the basement. He also tried to choke me out with my own scarf, death by scarf. That was horrifying. But he locked me in the basement, and that was actually more horrifying for me because I am indeed claustrophobic, and that was kind of like a recipe for disaster. And also I didn't know where the light switch was, so I was in this basement in the pitch black and I couldn't leave. And it wasn't until, thank God, his older brother, who was actually a saint in comparison, let me out of the basement. That was really deeply, deeply troubling. I did babysit for them several more times though, which is more troubling, obviously. I also, in reading these stories, another thing that I realized is a lot of your babysitting horror stories actually have to do with the parents being kind of a nightmare in one way or the other. And I also had to deal with that. One time I was babysitting and it was really late. And I hate babysitting. Like I said, I get scared of my own house at night. Like, I hate babysitting super late. That's why I loved nannying, because I would nanny while the parents were at work and then I would go home. And that was like beautiful to just like spend my days there and not have to, like, there's just no scariness about that. There's no fear. There's none of the inherent fear that is associated with like being in a stranger's home in the dark. Do you know what I mean? But I was babysitting for this family that lived like right around the corner from me. So they were super close and I was babysitting pretty late. I want to say it was like until like midnight maybe. And they had been out at like some party or something and the kids were little. So they had been asleep for like hours at this point. And I had just been there like watching TV. Also, like, that just gets old after a while. You know what I mean? Like, it's fine to like put the kids to sleep and it's like exciting because it's like, oh, sweet. Now I can just hang out and watch TV. But then like after like an hour, you're like, okay, I would just prefer to go home and lay in my bed. That's actually what I'm wanting to do right now. And so the parents get home and there's always also like that fear, like once you hear the parents come home, because you're like, A, is it the parents? Or like, is someone breaking in? Like, that's so uncomfortable. And then also you feel like you have to like sit up perfectly straight on their couch because you like don't want to be like laying on their couch when they walk in because that's embarrassing for some reason. So I heard them get home because the garage door opened and I was like, okay, that must be them. But then they didn't come inside for the longest time, which freaked me out because again, I was like, I have no idea if it's them or if their garage door just like mysteriously opened, if someone opened the garage door, like that's scary. And obviously the garage leads into the house. So I'm terrified. So I was sitting there thinking like, you know, you hear the garage door open, it'll probably be like 30 seconds to a minute before they walk into the house, and like 10 minutes goes by. And so then I'm like panicking because I'm like, okay, is that them? But like, it's so awkward because I don't want to go open the door to the garage if they're just like out there doing God knows what. And so I walked over to the door and I hear them arguing, which was so uncomfortable because I'm like, I shouldn't be here for this. Like, I should just kind of go. And they come inside, not even kidding, probably like 20 minutes later. Like, they were out there for so long and I was just sitting inside and they were just fighting the whole time. And they come inside and the mom is like, had clearly just been crying. Like, she tried to pull herself together, but like, it was obvious that she had been crying. And so she was like, oh, like, how are the kids? Like, she was trying to, you know, be normal and hopefully was probably hoping that I didn't know that they were fighting and like didn't hear them. And so she gives me the money and she said that her husband was going to bring me home. And even though I lived like right around the corner, but it's like so late at night, like I didn't want to, you don't want to send a teenage girl walking home by herself. And it was also, I would have had to go like onto like a main road that doesn't have sidewalks. It was a whole thing. Anyways, we go outside and he's like, I'm just going to walk you home instead. Because he was clearly probably so drunk, but that's also like, you did just drive all the way home. So that's also kind of concerning. And so he walked me home and it was just like so weird because there's like not a car in sight, nary a car or a soul in sight. And I am just like walking home with this like middle-aged man. And it was just like really uncomfortable. And he was just like, so how are the kids? And it was also awkward because I'm like, I know you don't want to talk to me. Like, I know you guys are like in a fight. Like, we can just like walk in silence. Like, this is so uncomfortable. And then I was like telling him about the kids and like what we did. And he's like, oh yeah, they're great kids. They really are. They're great kids. And I was like, yeah, okay. Luckily, it was not a very far walk, but that was so uncomfortable. That was probably like the weirdest experience I've had with like a parent of the kids that I babysit. Thank God. And then I babysat this boy who had some major behavioral issues. And I also think he had a few like learning disabilities that I was not equipped to be dealing with in any way, shape or form. Because I was just a teenager. And he was really a handful. I only babysat him probably like 5 times max. And it was on like Fridays over the summer because he would go to this camp. But on Fridays, they got out early. So instead of going until like 4 or 5, like when the parents would like leave work and pick them up, he got out of camp at like noon. So I would go over their house at noon. He would take this bus home from camp and I would hang out with him from noon to like 5 when the parents got home from work, which is like easy enough, right? Like just 5 hours, like watching this kid in the middle of the summer, like it's nice out, there's things to do. And I remember one of the first times I babysat him, he ran away. He did decide to take it upon himself and flee. And that was jarring. Also, maybe that wasn't the first time. I don't think it was the first time. I take it back. This was the time where his dad was home. His dad was working from home, which is also so uncomfortable. And a lot of people did write in saying that like that is like the most uncomfortable thing. And I did that during COVID too, because I had been nannying a family while I was at school. And then I continued to nanny them for a little bit during COVID before it got like really, really bad. And that was so uncomfortable because the parents were working from home and it was just like me with their children in their house. And I was not particularly loving that because you just feel like so on edge. But anyways, the dad was home. I was with this little boy and he wanted to like go ride bikes or something. And like, I was like, sure, you can go ride your bike. Like, I will walk next to you because I don't have a bike. Like, my bike isn't, I don't own a bike, first of all. And even if I did it, why would it be with me here and now? Like, that just doesn't make sense. And he said, oh, you can ride my dad's bike. And I was like, that's okay. Like, I'm totally fine. Like, you can go for a bike ride, like more than happy to do that. But I will not be participating in said bike ride. And that sent him over the edge for some reason. So he takes off on bike. I take off on foot. And he didn't live in a very big neighborhood, but the neighborhood was attached to like a very main busy street, which was my biggest and greatest fear at this point in time. And so I am literally running around this neighborhood. Also, keep in mind, the dad is upstairs, like in his office. And I'm like so afraid he's going to look out the window and see me like running down the street, sans his child, simply without his child in sight, like flailing around. And ironically enough, my mother happened to drive into this neighborhood because one of my brother's friends lived there. My mom was dropping my brother off at his friend's house. And so she sees me running around this neighborhood and she's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I lost the child. And she was like, oh, okay, awesome. And so she starts driving around the neighborhood to find him. I finally find him back at the house, actually. And he like slammed his bike into the front yard and stormed inside. So then he storms in through the garage and shuts the garage door. So I was in fact stuck outside. And then eventually he let me into the garage, but he locked the door that goes from the garage into the house. So that was really super, super fun for me. He finally lets me in And he pretended that he was going to like drink one of his dad's beers that was in the basement. So that was obviously kind of terrifying, because then he locked himself into this other room in the basement where his dad's beer was. Also, this child may be 7. And so I'm like, oh, I really don't want to be responsible for any form of underage drinking, least of all a 7-year-old drinking his father's beer. That's not something I'm wanting to participate in. So that was really scary. And then also I never got paid that day. That was super fun because the dad left to go pick up his other son. And he was like, okay, like I was supposed to leave by 5. And I remember it was like this whole thing because I had plans after and I was going to have to like rush home and like get changed. And it was just going to be this whole thing. So I was like, I need to leave by 5, which had never been a problem with this family before. But the dad left at probably like, let's say like 4:30. And he was like, I'm literally running down the street to go pick up my other son. And I knew where the son was. And it was so close. It was like less than 5 minutes away. And he's like, I'm just going to go run and pick him up really quick. And then you can leave when I get back. So I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I'm actually probably going to get to go early because there's no way it's going to take more than like 15 minutes round trip for him to get back. Like, I'll probably be able to leave like 15 minutes early. Awesome. He ends up getting somehow stuck in traffic. I don't know what happened because I don't know what traffic there could have possibly been, because I know where he was going. And like, there's just, I'm not envisioning where traffic would have kind of come up there. But so it gets to be past 5 and I'm still there. And I'm like, no, like I have to go. Like, this is so annoying. Like, I thought I was going to leave early and now I'm literally going to leave late. And I remember I was like, the mom texted me and she hadn't been there all day. She was still like out at work or something. And she's like, oh, like if you really need to leave, like you can just like leave the kid at home. You can just leave him there by himself. And I'm like, this child is deranged. And like, I have no idea what he would do by himself if given that much freedom. And also like, that's such a weird position to put me in, because she was like, I mean, if you have to go, you can just leave him. And I was like, well, obviously I'm not going to do that. Obviously, because I'm nice, like I'm not going to do that. And so then, the dad ends up getting home probably like 10 or 15 minutes after 5. And which again, not a big deal in the grand scheme of things, but like, because I had something to do and like places to be, like it was annoying. He finally gets home and he walks in and he's like, all right, Maddie, have a good weekend. And just like runs upstairs. And I was like, okay, sick. So I didn't get paid. I am simply unpaid. But I took the opportunity and I bolted. The dad also smoked like a pack a day, and he would come down through the basement to go outside to smoke. And so it was like so uncomfortable because I never knew when he was going to come downstairs and go out to smoke. And the child would be playing on his iPad the whole time. And I had made my peace with that. And I was like, this is just like, it is what it is at the end of the day. And so I was like on edge because I never knew when the dad was going to come downstairs to go outside and smoke. That was fun. Also, one time his grandmother showed up at the back door. This was insane. It was like, again, like midday, like mid-afternoon, and we were upstairs in his house, and they had like a back door that led to this like deck that they had, like a big sliding back door, and it's like all glass. And all of a sudden I turn and there's just like an elderly woman outside, which was like jarring in and of itself, because like, where did you come from? And also, it's just like, you think anyone else would go to the front door. They would go to like in through the garage, like to show up through the back door. Like, that is so rogue of you. And so she's looking in at us. She sees the two of us. I think I was getting him like a juice box or something. And I turn and I see her. And I was like, hey, buddy, do you know who that is? Because I'm like, who is this elderly woman? And like, obviously, she's like not giving like I'm a threat, but it's strange to show up to someone's back door, because that's intimate. That's personal. Like, how did you get here? How did you know that this back door existed? Do you know what I mean? And he's like, oh, that's my grandma. And he didn't open the door or like say hi to his grandma. It was the weirdest thing ever. And I was like, oh, okay. So like, that's your grandma. And we're saying all of this. We're having this conversation maybe 5 feet from the glass door where she can fully see us and we can see her. She also like didn't make any attempt to open the door. It was so strange. So I am like, okay, I mean, if this is your grandma, then I'll go open the door. Like, it felt like a trap. And so I opened the door and I was like, hi, like I'm, you know, the babysitter, whatever. And she's like, oh yeah, like his mom just wanted me to come over and like drop off this bag. It was like a bag of, I don't know what. And so I took the bag and she was like, hi to the little boy. And he just like didn't say anything to her, which like made it that much stranger. And then she's like, okay, well, I'll leave you guys to it. And she just like shut the door and left. I don't even think she ever stepped foot in the house. She just like gave me the bag from outside. It was the weirdest thing ever. So, so strange. Okay, my last short little babysitting horror story, even though they've all taken like 7 minutes. Anyways, my last one was with this family that I just mentioned that I babysat for when I was in college. And I would go over there on weekdays and I would take the kids to school. I would get the kids ready for school because the parents had to leave super early for work. And so I would like feed them breakfast, like make sure they got dressed and brushed their teeth and like had their backpacks and everything. And then I would walk them down the street to their school. So it was like super easy. And it was only for like a couple hours in the morning. And they were like super nice. And the kids were chill for the most part. But it was always awkward because the dad would be there when I got there. And so he would be there and he would like have breakfast with them or like make coffee and like make them breakfast essentially. And then he would go upstairs and get ready for work. And then he would usually leave like right as I would be taking the kids upstairs to get them ready for school. And so it was always so awkward because I would get there. I would let myself in because I had a key. I would let myself into their house and it would be like pitch black and they would all be sleeping. The mom would be gone at this point. And I would just let myself into the house and just sit down at their kitchen table, like waiting for them. And then sometimes it would be like the daughter that came down first. Sometimes it would be their son. Sometimes it would be the dad. And it was so uncomfortable because then we would all just sit there, the four of us, and he would make them breakfast most of the time because he was there. And so then he'd be like, Maddie, do you want anything? Like, and like the kids would ask for like toast or whatever it was. And he would make it for them. So it was just like, I didn't need to be there at that point. And it was like very kind of uncomfortable, but it was like this kind of routine that we got into where like sometimes I would play like a board game with the kids and like he would be making them their breakfast. It was just so, so unnecessary and so awkward. And there was one time that I got there. It was right before Christmas break. So like for Christmas break in college, I had like a month off, right? So I had told them like I wouldn't be able to babysit them for a month. And so the last day I was going to go to their house and see them, it was like the night before, it had said that it was going to be snowing super bad, like all throughout the night into the morning. And obviously if like the kids had a snow day, then one of the parents would have to stay home with them. Cause obviously like I could only stay for like a little bit in the morning. And then I had to go back to school for classes and my job that I had at school and all of that stuff. So I wasn't sure what was going to happen. And I had like texted them the night before, because also I'm like, I don't feel like the drive to their house. It was like probably like 15 minutes maybe. But it was like on these like country back roads, like these winding country back roads. Like there was no easy way to get there from the highway. It was so weird. So I was like, I don't want to be driving on these roads if they're going to be icy and snowy in the morning. And I kind of texted them to like let them know that, like depending on what it's like in the morning, like just want to let you know. And they were like, yeah, totally. Like we'll give you a heads up if like the kids don't have school or anything. So the next morning, the mom had, I don't know if she had texted me saying like that the kids did still have school or what, or if she just didn't text me at all. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll just go over there. So it was something so weird, but I was like, okay, I guess I'm going. And so I got ready and I got in my car and I drove over there. And I get there, and like I said, I let myself in with the key like I did every single morning. I'm sitting down at the kitchen table like I do every single morning. And it was clear that like no one was up at this point, which is pretty normal. And I'm sitting there for a while and like time just keeps going by. And I'm like, oh, this is like kind of awkward. Like, cause it's also like, do I go wake them up at some point? Like what if they all slept in and the dad was like so chaotic and frazzled all the time. So it would have actually been very on brand for all of them to like sleep in like past the time that school was supposed to be, which is just like kind of classic. And so I'm sitting there and time is elapsing. And I had Christmas gifts for the kids that I had on like the table for them. I was like so excited for them to come down and see them. And I'm sitting there and all of a sudden the mom, who has already gone to work, by the way, like she's, like I said, she's already gone. She texts me and she's like, oh, the kids had like a delay this morning. So I think like school would be starting at like 10 or instead of 8 or something like that. And so she's like, so my husband's going to stay home with them this morning and take them to school. Like you don't have to worry about it. So essentially she's like, you don't have to come into work. And I am sitting in their house. And that was really a really tough moment for me. So I made the executive decision to leave the gifts there and then exit the premises and get in my car. And also it was like so awkward because I'm like, what if they like hear my car starting up? Like there's just like so much that goes into escaping someone's home unnoticed. And I wasn't mentally prepared for that really. And so I went and got in the car and I left. And then I awkwardly texted the parents when I got back to school, like when I was safely back at school. And I was like, okay, like I just like happened to be in the neighborhood this morning and I had gifts for the kids. So I just left them there like Merry Christmas. And I was so happy that I wasn't going to see them for like a month. Cause I was like, this is just like, it's just one of those like weird, awkward moments that I found myself in where I was like, I don't know how to go about technically trespassing into someone's home. It was not an ideal situation, but anyways, without further ado, now that we're 30 minutes in, this feels like a good time to start the episode. Okay, we're starting off strong with nothing shy of a jump scare and kind of a really terrifying, not even a jump scare, just a scare. This is just a scare. Okay. Once the parents tested me, in air quotes with all five fingers, that's a callback. I hope you guys get it. Once the parents tested me by wearing black ski masks and breaking into the house and terrorizing me for a solid minute to see if I would really protect their kids, I did throw myself over the children. It was my first time realizing the feminine maternal instinct was there, lol. But they took their masks off, laughed, and patted me on the back and left. I didn't move all night. I would have left their house. If that is real, which I would like to think that it is. I would like to think people are only writing in real, raw, genuine, authentic stories into this podcast. If that is real, I would say, I mean, I obviously I would never say this. I would never say this, but like in my heart, I would say, fuck you. And I would walk. Where the fuck do you get off? Also, you're not paying me to, okay, is that controversial? Like you're paying me what, like $10 an hour? Because I'm assuming this was like a while ago. You're paying me $10 an hour. Like, I'm not shielding your children from attackers. Is that bad? Is that controversial? But, like, they're not my kid. No, it's getting worse. The more I say, the worse it gets. But do you know what I mean? Like, I'm no one's hero at the end of the day. If someone walked in, I would do my best to like, rally the children and to escape. But at the end of the day, like, it is every man for himself. I'm really glad I don't babysit anymore. You know what? This says it all. But that's an insane thing that you like think that the babysitters that you were paying minimum wage should be jumping over your children to protect them from intruders. Like that's simply not, what do you think they are? The Secret Service? They're like 15-year-old babysitters. I think you have a misguided notion of the expectations here from like a small town babysitter. Who do you think they are, you freaks? Also, are you that concerned and scared that an intruder is actually going to break into your house like that? Because that's the bigger issue here, is like if that's a genuine fear of yours that you think has a really high probability of happening, so much so that you wanted to test your babysitter, that's scary. You need to reevaluate. You need to get a home security system. That's what you need. I don't think it's not your babysitter's problem. Is that, maybe it is. Maybe I'm wrong, but I unfortunately don't think I am. I'll circle back on this at some later date and see whether or not I stand by it. Okay, nannied for a family of three kids. We arranged an overnight around the holidays so that the parents could go enjoy a few parties in one evening. The kids were rambunctious and never listened to me, but I got them to bed somehow. I was taking out the trash around midnight, braver than the Marines. That's crazy of you to go outside at midnight. Wearing sweats and a crop tank, and the parents came home early. The dad saw me and said, dang, you're in really good shape. Nope. Why would you have ever said that? I carried on to my room in the basement and heard them arguing for the rest of the night. Pretty sure he slept on the couch. I only continued nannying the family for 2 weeks before finding another one. I am currently blocked on the mom's Facebook. No, you're kidding. Not the Facebook block. That's just being a weirdo and a creep. But also the mom, like, blaming you and blocking you on Facebook, that she's being a weirdo and a creep. It seems like it was just a family of weirdos and creeps, and I'm glad that you got out of there. That's my commentary. I hope it was sufficient. Okay, this story. I don't know. The family adopted 4 rabbits, 1 for each child. Already no. Listen, I'm not a big bunny person. They're adorable. I just could never, they're just like an animal, a pet that I would never have, ever. A bunny. I'm allergic to guinea pigs. I don't want to talk about it. I found out the hard way, in case you were wondering. So guinea pigs naturally kind of freak me out. Same with hamsters. Like, I don't like those kind of like caged rodent creatures. Ferrets, like, that's just like, personally, it's not for me. The only animals I would ever get are a dog. I love cats, but I am allergic to them. But they're so cute and so cuddly. And I would also get like a goldfish, perhaps, like for my child. I would never for myself, but that would be the pet I would get for my child if they were wanting one. Not a rabbit. Simply not a rabbit, and simply not 4 rabbits. That would never be something I would do. Unfortunately, one of them was missexed. I don't know what that means. I looked it up. I couldn't find out what it means, which was kind of concerning, because I'm like, if Google doesn't know, how on earth am I supposed to know? And their 4 rabbits quickly turned into over 100 rabbits. Okay. The mischievous one decided to let all the rabbits out of their cage. Chaos ensued of me attempting to capture 100+ less than friendly rabbits, with the 4 children screaming and watching. This same child later that day threw almost a whole pot of noodles on the ceiling. I am sure the remains are still there to this day. It's been 16 years and I haven't recovered. I have so many questions re the 100+ rabbits. Okay, so sure, you get 4 rabbits, they turn into 100. Why are you finding yourself in possession of all of them? Why is that something that you are doing? Surely I would be selling those rabbits. I would be giving them away for free. I would say, anyone in the tri-state area needing a rabbit, because I have one for you, come take it. Come take 3. Come take 6 if you want. You can take as many rabbits as you want. It is crazy to me that they remained in possession of the 100+ less than friendly rabbits. Also, why have less than friendly rabbits around your 4 children? That's just screaming negligence and also like a recipe for disaster. And they, like, where was this cage? That's the other question I have. Was it actually in their home? Because I just can't imagine 100 rabbits in a cage in someone's home. That's too many rabbits. You would need like a whole room for them. And it just feels like if you have a babysitter over, you'd be like, just don't go near the rabbits. Like, don't let them near the rabbits. But clearly that was not like an instruction that was given, which is insane, because it's all just a huge recipe for disaster. I'm really sorry if you had to get through that. 100 rabbits is about 100 too many to have to deal with. I can't even fathom. I wonder where those rabbits are today. I don't know how long rabbits live, but that was 16 years ago. Rest in peace to those rabbits. Okay. One time, a little boy I was babysitting, around 3 years old, pooped his pants. Awesome. I let the mom know and asked if she wanted me to toss out the underwear, which is like, also, like, just not your problem. Like, it's just not your problem. I wouldn't have even asked. I would have tossed that in the trash and said, you know what, you can deduct like $1 from what you were going to pay me to compensate for the underwear if you must. She made me clean out the poopy underwear outside with a hose. That is so far above your pay grade. It's actually unfathomable. I'm sorry. Do you think I'm a washing machine? I'm sorry, you didn't hire me to do your laundry. That is not okay. And it also just like, it's like, where was the 3-year-old at this time? Like, you had to abandon the 3-year-old because hosing down the underwear took precedence. That's not okay. That's not okay. I have like so much respect for you for doing that, because I think there's a line that could have been drawn and you said, I'm not going to draw it. You said, I'll suck it up. And that is brave. It is brave. But I hope you've learned boundaries since, because there's no way that should have been something you should have taken on. And I mean that. I had just gotten my first cell phone at 13 and was babysitting late for a family with three kids, ages 5, 3, and 6 months. Too many children. That is too many children, way too close together. I don't like that. I started getting calls from an unknown number saying, "Don't trust the little one," and "I see you" in a super creepy voice. I had just put the kids to bed and called my dad crying because I was so scared. Caller didn't block his number, and so my dad called it, and it was just my brother and his best friend pranking me. That's really sad. That's sad because I think you were at your most vulnerable when you were babysitting children in a stranger's home late at night. I really can't stress that enough. And so that is like a crazy, that is a mean prank. There are some pranks that are just like, that is too far. And you were a child, I'm assuming. Yeah, you were 13. That's like, that is terrifying. That's really scary. And it's scary too because they obviously knew you were babysitting, so they could like cater to that, which is terrifying because it makes you feel like someone's watching you. That's not, it's just not okay. All right, very first time babysitting when I was 11, watching a three-year-old for the afternoon. Kid was a wild child, but it was going fine. We were outside playing on the little jungle gym, and they asked for a snack. So we start going up the deck stairs, and I'm behind spotting them. They reach the top and turn around with the most terrifyingly creepy smile I have ever seen and say, "I don't want you here anymore." Then starts screaming bloody murder and tries to push me down the stairs. I told the parents when they came back, and legit all they said was, "Well, what did you do that made her so upset?" Needless to say, I never went back there again. That is crazy. Also, like, for a three-year-old, like, that needs to be checked out. I think that's not okay. Or maybe it's fine. Maybe it's totally fine. It could be totally fine, because also, like, a three-year-old couldn't push you down the stairs. If a three-year-old could push you down the stairs, we have bigger problems. I mean, granted, you were 11, so that is scary. It's scary. Also, what business does an 11-year-old have watching a 3-year-old? And that's no offense to the 11-year-old, but that's like offense to the parents. That's just asking, like, that's like basically, 11 is basically 7. You are asking a 7-year-old to watch your 3-year-old child. What is that? Just what is that? I don't get it. Okay. Context: this child is from a very wealthy Christian family. He's probably 6 or 7 at the time, and it had just been his birthday, so he's obviously rolling in cash. Kid had the genius idea to take his piggy bank out on the lawn, dump it out, and start praying for it to rain down Beyblades. For those of you who don't know, Beyblades is slash was, I don't know if it still is currently, but it definitely was a very popular toy for 6 or 7 year old boys at a certain point in time. I'm trying to think if my brother was ever into those. I think he had just missed it, actually. He's got legitimately like a couple $100, and the teenagers across the street are eyeing it like, "Oh, this is gonna be easy." And I'm like, "Okay, that's such a nice prayer, but I think we can take our money inside now, and your mom can take you to buy Beyblades at the store tomorrow. Close one, LOL." That's like such a funny like little kid thing to like go to church and hear about praying, and you like ask God for like basically wishes, right? And so you're like, "Okay, I gotta go outside." It's funny that he like did it out in the lawn too, just like for everyone to see. That is, it is iconic at the end of the day, but it's also funny because if God can just like give you Beyblades and that's his presumption, why did he think he needed the money? It just goes to show the capitalistic nature of organized religion, I think. I'm kidding. But in a very real sense, I'm also not. Okay. The kid told her parents, "I bite." I don't know what made her think that. I don't either. And that's like a heinous thing because it's kind of specific. It's kind of really specific. And so it's like, as the parent, are you in that instance believing your child, or are you believing the babysitter? I would like to think that I would be able to believe the babysitter, but at the same time, it's like if your child is telling you that an adult, well, hopefully an adult, that you left in her presence is biting her, like, do you take their word for it? I don't know. I really don't know how you would broach that subject. Maybe you would just find a new babysitter and hope that that one doesn't bite. Like, you just, it's their word against against the babysitters, and that's kind of a tricky situation. Okay, I was babysitting, and the child I was taking care of goes, "Look, there's a man," and keeps pointing out the window into the backyard. Their backyard was really large, so it was possible I couldn't see the man. He kept gaslighting me and saying he could see him watching us and he was scared. So I told him I would go check. I put both of the kids in the youngest child's bedroom and told them to stay there and close the door. I took a plank of wood that they used to block the sliding door in the back as my weapon and examined the yard. You are so brave. You are so brave. I would have said, "What man?" And then I would have... And then I would have turned on a cartoon or made mac and cheese and I would have distracted them. There's no way I would have been going out there with a weapon to inspect the yard. Absolutely not. I was shitting bricks, but there was no one there. When I go to open the door, it's locked. Then the boy in the kitchen was laughing at me holding this wooden plank. He was plotting this the whole time. So I had to walk all the way around their McMansion and let myself in the front door because he wouldn't unlock the back door. He laughed and said there never was a man, but as soon as the parents came home, he started crying about the scary man. That's just, what a vindictive little shit. Oops, did I say that out loud? I did. I also, guys, I just remembered one other babysitting horror story. That's so funny. I just like have to share it with you. I don't know if I ever talked about this one in my original episode, but forgive me if I did. So I was watching these children. It was my first time babysitting for them. And I was watching them because their dad traveled for business a lot. And so the mom would hire babysitters just for like an afternoon so she could go out and like go to Target and go grocery shopping and just like run errands without having to like take her kids with her. So maybe it was the second time I babysat them. I think it was. And the first time it was like totally fine and normal. The second time, it was just me and these two little boys. And the first time it had been also their older sister who was like 13 and she kind of took over, which was kind of perfect because she like knew where everything was. Like she was old enough to like help me in that sense. But this time it was just me and these two boys. I would say one of them was probably like 8 and then the other was probably 5, maybe 8 and 5-ish. And I get there and again, it's like middle of the afternoon and she's like, "Okay, I'm just going to go run some errands. Like, I'll be back in a few hours." And she said, "I also just put banana bread in the oven. Like, it should be done in like 15 minutes. Like, there was a timer on the stove that was on." And I was like, "Okay, great." And so she's like, "The kids love banana bread. Like, just take it out, let it cool down, and like give them a slice of banana bread." I was like, "Okay, like, sounds good." So 15 minutes goes by. And also, in that 15 minutes, these kids are like drooling, like staring at this banana bread in the oven, like losing their mind over it, which was like strange to me because I'm like, it's banana bread. Like I would get it if it was like chocolate chip cookies or like cake, but like it seemed strange for like an 8 and a 5-year-old boy to be obsessed with banana bread, but like whatever, cute. It's cute of them, like a cute little quirky personality trait. So 15 minutes goes by. I take the banana bread out of the oven. I'm like, it has to cool down for a little bit. They're just staring at it the whole time. I'm like, "Do you guys want to like go play a game? Like, do you want to go outside while we wait?" Like, no, they did not. They wanted no part in that. So they just stood there staring at this banana bread while it was cooling. And then I take it out of the pan and I cut it up. And like, you know, if you were to have a loaf of banana bread in front of you, you know what a normal size slice of banana bread looks like, right? Because you're a normal person. And so I go to like cut up a normal size slice of banana bread. And he's like, "No, I want a bigger slice than that." The 8-year-old says this. I was like, "Okay, like, haha." So I give him like maybe like 1/2 inch bigger of a slice. And he's like, "No, more than that." And he pointed to where he wanted it to. He probably had like a good 6-inch slab of banana bread. And I just like gave it to him. I was like, "Are you Because it was just so weird. It was just so weird. And again, it's not like it's cookies where it's like, "Oh, that's like bad for you. You can only have one," or like, "You can only have two," or whatever. It's like banana bread is such a weird thing to have to limit a child when they're consuming it. Like, that's so strange. And then the little boy, the 5-year-old, he obviously wanted to follow his brother. So they both had like 6-inch slices of banana, not even a slice at that point. It's like a cube of banana bread, like a giant cube loaf, their own personal loaf of banana bread. And I remember I sliced one normal size piece for myself, and I indulged in a slice of banana bread, and it was good. You know, they made it. It was like boxed banana bread mix, so it was nothing insane. It was good. These children, I was like, have you ever eaten anything? Have you eaten anything this week? The way that they were ravenously shoving this banana bread, they were eating it with their hands and just like taking giant chunks of it and like shoving it to the back of their throat. It was the most rogue thing I've ever seen. And just like, so it was, and everyone I've explained it to since, and probably even you listening to this, like doesn't get it. Like they don't get how absurd this was. And they also like wouldn't eat the crust of it. So they were just eating like the innards of this banana bread. And they ended up eating the entire fucking loaf. And I was like, this is going to be, I hope this isn't weird when your mom gets home. Like, I hope she gets it. And it's like, oh yeah, totally. Like they go feral for banana bread. And because I was like, this is going to be really awkward to explain if this is like the first time that they've done this. And she's like confused, but she wasn't. She didn't really acknowledge it, but she didn't seem surprised. It was so weird. Okay, moving on. It was my first time babysitting for this family. They had just one daughter that was 7 years old. As the mom is getting ready to head out, she tells me to make sure I give her a bottle before bed. Naturally, I'm a bit confused because the girl is seven, but what do I know? I'm only like 16 at the time. So real. You're like, yeah, seven-year-olds get bottles before bed. That's totally normal. Well, it turns out the bottle was not just regular milk. This woman was still breastfeeding her seven-year-old daughter and had pumped just enough to get her through the few hours that she would be gone for the night. That's, no. No, I don't. There's something unsettling about that. That's too much. And that's also like a, that's kind of one of those like inherently like keep it to yourself type of things. Like to have to trouble the babysitter with that information is feeling, that's, it's feeling TMI at that point. Okay. Once I was babysitting overnight and the house alarm went off, I called the parents to let them know and had the cops come to do a lap to check the house. The cops said that the weird thing was that the alarm got tripped at two locations on opposite ends of the house at the exact same time. Maybe not a horror story, but definitely a big fuck no, LOL. That's, no, that is a horror story. That's a ghost story, actually. That's a spooky story, dare I say. That's not okay. That is really not okay at all with me or with anyone else, I'm sure. I'm not okay with that. No. What did you do for the rest of the night? I would have been like, okay, do you mind actually parking your police car outside of the house for the remainder of the evening? That would be great because I don't want to be dealing with this now or ever. There, I said it. Okay. One time I was making mac and cheese for the kids, my first and last time babysitting them. Okay. And they took their guinea pig into the bathroom when I wasn't looking and drowned it. No. And then after I was done making mac and cheese, they brought its corpse to me asking me to save it. And I was like, yo, what the fuck? But I'm not mentally equipped to do CPR on a guinea pig. Yeah, neither is anyone. So I called the mom and I was like, you're not going to believe this. And she was like, actually, this is their third one this year. No. No. I was like, A, why the fuck would you keep buying guinea pigs? Such a valid question, honestly. And B, your kids are genuinely psychotic and are serial killers in training. They were like 8-ish too, so they clearly knew what they were doing. Anyways, I took my money and ran and deleted the mom's number. I was terrified of them. That is so valid. That is so valid. Also, there is this theory in criminology and psychology called the McDonald's triad, I want to say. And it's basically, I think it has, I don't know how valid it is, but it's like this theory that essentially if like young kids or like younger adults are doing these three things, that it could mean that they could potentially become like a serial killer. And one of the things is harming animals. And the other is setting fires, and then it's wetting the bed. And so killing an animal, that would be a big one. So that's like, that's actually genuinely like really concerning, I would say. Oh, I don't like that at all. Okay. A few more to bang out here. Okay. The parents didn't tell me that the 5-year-old had night terrors until I found out the hard way. Then when they came home, they told me that they usually have to wake him up by dumping water on his head. What? That's feeling inhumane. That's feeling like there's 100 things you could do before dumping water on, because that's also just a nuisance. Then you have to clean up their soaking wet bed. Why would you do that? That's also horrifying for the child. Like, and how frequently is this occurring? Like every night? Like that is not okay. I don't like that. All right. My mom is a nanny and was applying for a job a few years back when she had the craziest thing happen. She went to meet the family and have an interview and met the parents, who were super sweet. They informed her that the mother worked in an office and she would be away all day, and the husband worked from home. My mom was immediately uncomfortable with it, but wanted to see if it could work. She ended up doing a trial day, and she was feeling weird vibes and a gut feeling that this job wasn't for her. So she informed the family that it wasn't a good fit and went along to find a new job. A few months later, my mom gets a call from the wife of that previous family. She asks my mom if her husband was ever inappropriate or weird around her, and she said no. Then the wife proceeds to tell my mother that her husband cheated and left her and their child for the nanny that they hired after my mother. My mother felt so bad for that poor lady, but was glad she got out of that situation. This is why you should never doubt your gut feeling. It's also, that's like a crazy thing, because it makes it sound like, it makes it almost as if like the husband didn't even care who the nanny was. Like he was simply determined to run away with the nanny. Like just regardless of whoever filled that position. That is, yeah, that's horrifying. That is really horrifying. One time I was babysitting this little girl and she got mad at me and shoved me literally to the ground. And it was honestly just super embarrassing on my part. That is super embarrassing. You should figure it out. I'm kidding. But I understand how you're just like, okay, like who is the boss here? Because it's not me. Clearly you are the boss. Okay. I'm needing you guys to buckle up for this next story, because whatever you're thinking is going to happen is probably wrong. It's insane. In the 90s, people would let their 10-year-olds babysit younger kids. So I watched three. They were kids from down the street. The husband was a major creep. Like he had the most evil eyes. The wife was dead quiet, never really spoke. I decided it was too creepy and stopped watching their kids. Years later on the news, after his wife went quote unquote missing, with obviously five finger air quotes, they found her body in the woods in Santa Cruz. He murdered her, and all his children testified against him. How insane. What a crazy like connection to have to an insane story like that, to be like, oh, I babysat for them a few times. That is insane and so scary. And another great reason to like never ignore your gut feeling. Just this, that's the message here. Do not ignore your gut ever. Once I babysat three kids who lived next door, and the oldest daughter, who was maybe 8, took me up to her parents' room and showed me a picture frame and said, these are my parents. And then took out the back of the frame and pulled out another picture and showed it to me and said, this is my mom's boyfriend. Don't tell anyone. Mortifying. Parents ended up getting a divorce, obviously, and the mom and boyfriend got married. That's insane. That is insane. And also like crazy that the daughter knows about it. Like what is the relation there? Like what is going on? Why is she so in the know? That is deeply, deeply troubling. I made dino nuggets, mac and cheese, and some mini carrot sticks for a 5-year-old and gave him a little ketchup for the nuggets if he wanted to dip them. Apparently, that was not a thing. So he asked what the ketchup was for, and I said, oh, it's to dip your nuggets in. And he asked if he could dip the carrots in the ketchup. I said, you can dip whatever you want in the ketchup. He yelled, I'm going to dip my penis in the ketchup. And I turned around too late to stop that. Cue the, ow, it stings, it stings. Why did you tell me to do that? And a trip to urgent care for the ketchup penis. That's, no, no. Again, so far above your pay grade. It's actually insane. It is actually insane. That's not, nope, it's too far. It's too far on all accounts. That's not something you are emotionally equipped to deal with. It's not something that anyone's equipped to deal with besides the parents and maybe grandparents of that child. Like, it's just like, that's no one else's problem. It is, but it isn't. So I was maybe 13 years old and agreed to babysit the town terror down the street. Everything was going fine until I couldn't find him. All of a sudden, I hear his dad's truck start up. I run outside and there he is behind the wheel and both doors are locked. I immediately went inside. this was pre-cell phones, and called my mom and dad for backup. They promptly sent my brothers down, and somehow we got him out of the truck. The incident was so traumatizing, it could have gotten way out of hand. How old was this child? Did it say? No. But you were 13. You couldn't even drive the truck. That is insane. Like, again, like, if you have a child that is obviously under the age of 13 and they are able to navigate, first of all, like, how did they get the keys? Like, why are they having such easy access to this? But also, I guess if you have like an 8-year-old child, you're not like, oh, I need to like hide my keys from them because they're going to go try and steal my truck. But that's just like a crazy thing for your child to be capable of. And then if you know that, which you must, there's no way you have a child that is capable of stealing a fucking truck without knowing it. And you like let a stranger, like a strange 13-year-old girl babysit, like that's just like not fair. It's not fair to anyone. That is not okay. All right, I babysat a girl age 6-ish and a boy age 9-ish. And one time I caught them making out in the backyard. That is not okay. That is not okay. But also, what do you do in that situation? Besides say, no. Do you tell the parents? Like, what happens? How does one go about that? This episode should just be called That's Above Your Pay Grade. Like, it's not your circus, not your monkeys. Like, no. This one's not about the kids, but the parents. When I was like 13, the parents came home from a night out and the dad drove me home. When we got into the car, he could barely get the key in the ignition because he was so shit-faced. I was so scared. I was too scared to say anything, so I just buckled up and hoped for the best. I think I told my mom, but she never said a word. I would have reported that fucker. That is so scary. That is so scary. And there was actually a couple other stories that were similar to that. And it's like the kids just like feel awkward. And so they get in the car and like, that's so scary. But like, I get it. Cause like you're a child. And also like, depending on how old you are, you might not like recognize what's going on. Like you might not recognize that they're drunk. You might just be like, oh, they're not well, like they're sick or something. Like, I don't know. That is not okay in any capacity ever. But that does go without saying, I think. Okay, last one. I babysat in college. I used to use this Facebook group to find families, usually last minute. This mom was like, oh, I need a sitter so I can go to the doctor. I'm like, okay, cool, sure. I get there. There's like 15 kids. She leaves with 3 of them and is like, BRB. Apparently, she runs an in-home daycare, and I was watching the daycare kids while her and her family went to her 3-hour doctor's appointment. And I'm not sure if she told these other families about it. That's so, like, what a situation to find yourself in. Because then what if, like, one of the parents of one of these daycare children comes to pick them up and you're like, okay, take your kid, I guess. Like, I don't know which one's yours. And they're like, oh, do you work here? And you're like, no, yes. Yes and no at the same time. Both yes and no. I work here. Of course. That's so weird and so messed up. And also, did she have no one helping her? 15 kids is a lot for one person with like no shred of backup ever. That's problematic. It's not good. It's not good. But what a fabulous story. I'm sure that was such a jarring experience though. So more power to you. I hope you've recovered. Anyways, thank you guys so much for joining me on this fabulous Monday. I hope you guys have a great week and I will talk to you next Monday. Bye.